Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and we want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing, and Daniel Boys for the bird songs that you're hearing as well. Our guests today are Danny Robin, the Community Connections Coordinator, and Mick Daniel, the Executive Director of San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, or SLV Go. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Danny, you have the results from a survey that SLV Go conducted on outdoor conservation and recreation, and that's the focus of today's podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. I'm excited to share with everyone what we came up with. But just a reminder, we, SLV Go, conducted a survey in the winter of 2022 into 2023. And this was really a survey to capture both local priorities for conservation and outdoor recreation within the community and across the San Luis Valley. But also an opportunity to help SLV Go determine what progress we've made in the last 10 years since our last master plan and what we've accomplished and what community needs may have shifted in the last 10 years.
Great. It's a very important topic here in the San Luis Valley, well, throughout the United States, but especially close to here.
Yeah, and I was just really curious. I mean, I remember the early conversations before we were even Go, just a group of community members meeting, educators. I was on it because I was involved at Adams State. Aaron Minks was there, Kathy Foss, Adam Moore, Sean Noonan, Carla Shriver, and we just had no place to know how many people were recreating now. I'd go on mountain bike rides and generally never see anyone. And if I did see them, I definitely knew them. And so it was just, we needed that kind of starting point, like that first data collection. And so that was part of the original master plan, doing that survey. It was part of that process.
Yeah, that master plan really served as a roadmap for our organization and coalition partners and established some shared priorities across the region. We were really... You know, we set out after that 2014 plan to really increase information sharing about what there is to see and do in the San Luis Valley, and also, you know, enhance more opportunities and create more opportunities to recreate across the valley. And we really focused on providing those opportunities in and around communities, assuming that, you know, accessibility was kind of a barrier. So trying to get people just closer to trailheads, closer to parks and these outdoor spaces where people could recreate. And with this new survey that came out, a lot of the results were really affirming of our work in the past 10 years. And we found out that, you know, more people are recreating more frequently. It showed that 44% of respondents in our 2013 survey recreated once a week or more. And then in 2023, that rose to 66%.
That's a pretty significant gain.
A very significant gain. In addition to that, the percentage of people recreating in or just outside of town rose from 25% to in 2013 to 55% in 2023. So we're seeing from these survey results that, you know, our work of putting in more trails in and around communities has really paid off. More people are able to access these trails and outdoor spaces and are recreating more frequently and recreating in and around their communities, which definitely minimizes impact on our public lands in some capacity.
And, you know, that's a really good thing to have the accessibility, to have more things for people to do around town. Sometimes, you know, I'm a little selfish and I think, what are all these people doing in my park? <You know? laughs> But then that rapidly passes and I think it's okay. They're supposed to be out here and it's healthy for all of us to have these interactions.
Yeah, but imagine it if we hadn't, if these newer areas weren't developed and we had that increase in the number of people who are recreating outside, they would have all been in the same spot.
Right.
Because there were so few places. And so I think that's the way we have to look at this too, is like, the conservation piece of like, hey, because we have people recreating in town, that's alleviating some of the public lands further out. But the other side of that is that when they're recreating more in town too, they're not necessarily ending up in everybody's favorite recreation spot. So it should spread that use out across the larger terrain or larger geographic area, so to speak.
And I think another benefit of that is that you're raising people's awareness of how important it is to do these conservation projects and to have that kind of a mindset, so that we have some areas for people to recreate in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the line.
Yeah, I think the information sharing part's important and the infrastructure part is important. Patrick has a great story. He grew up here in Alamosa, and this was one of the stories that kind of set us in this direction in some ways of creating recreational infrastructure in towns. He was saying as a kid growing up on the south side of Alamosa, he thought the river was in Cole Park, you know, but the reality was he was always just a few blocks from the river because it turns and comes by the south side of Alamosa.
Right.
There just wasn't access here.
Right.
You know, so when the Malm Trail went in, that really provided the first access to the Rio Grande from the south side of Alamosa. And so, you know, what if we look at all of our communities in that way? You know, like, what is the open space that's available? What is that in the green space? And 100% in support of ball fields and whatever it may be, parks and that kind of thing. But there is something different when it's an open space, you know, and maybe your access is just a trail. And our natural environment isn't, you know, when we think about our open space, you know, we're talking about big vistas and chicos and, you know, that's part of our culture and our place. Right. When we moved back to the Valley, my wife was like, I want to be out in the open. I want views. And I was like, okay, you know, we're going to have wind. Like, you don't get that. You don't get to have views without wind in the San Luis Valley. And so we pay for that part of the year for sure. But I love just being in the center of the valley and having those 360-degree views. And that inspires me, and I think it inspires a lot of people here.
You know, this is a little off topic, but I was just having a conversation on Sunday doing a highway cleanup with our Trout Unlimited chapter. A gentleman who joined us moved from somewhere in upstate New York out to the west, and we were talking about the open vistas and so on, and the availability of public lands. We are so lucky where we live to have so much open space available. It's just not the case in the eastern U.S.
No.
Danny, survey results.
No, I love it. I love it. What else? So we definitely asked more about kind of what barriers people experience that prevent them from recreating in the outdoors. And what I found really, really cool was that initially in 2013, 34% of respondents didn't know what's available. That was something that prevented them from getting outdoors. That went down to 21% in 2023. So that means that we definitely upped our game and we're better promoting what there is to see and do in the valley. In addition, this just goes back and correlates to what I mentioned before, but another barrier was that these recreation opportunities are too far away or there's a lack of facilities close to home. 24% stated that as a barrier in 2013, and that became halved in 2023 to 12%. So we're definitely seeing a lot of progress through our work and these aligned, you know, work amongst our coalition partners. So we're really excited to be able to take this data and, you know, keep working towards these goals and, you know, keep cutting those numbers down, but also to focus on more priorities related to conservation and kind of this shift we're seeing from public land managers in not only developing more outdoor recreation opportunities, but really focusing on maintaining and enhancing the outdoor recreation infrastructure and amenities that the Valley already has.
Very good. You know, one of the things that I think our listeners might be interested in is the number of respondents to your survey and from where they came. I don't know whether you can, whether you have any geographic information from the survey, but...
We do, yeah. So it was pretty proportionally distributed amongst counties as far as population size. So, of course, we saw most of our respondents from Alamosa County, followed by Rio Grande, Mineral, you know, kind of correlated to population. As far as the number of respondents, we had over 460 respondents.
That's
which
really good.
It was really good. Yeah, it was about a little over 100 more than we got back in 2013. So we worked hard to be able to try and distribute the survey as best we could by, you know, sharing it with our coalition partners, having it in the newspaper, on the radio, all sorts of things. So we got a good turnout, and we're happy about that. Something that we would like to work on as far as demographics and doing more community engagement about this initiative is that we got a low response rate from our Hispanic community. We had about 15% identify as Hispanic as participants in the survey, and we know that our Valley population is actually about 50% Hispanic. So we're making some intentional efforts there to host some community meetings focused on Latino and Hispanic engagement and exploring more about, you know, outdoor recreation and what priorities the community has. If conservation is, you know, at the forefront, how people steward and care for the land, just really providing an opportunity for dialogue to kind of dive deeper into some of these questions like barriers and how we as an organization and coalition partners can better break those barriers down and be able to increase accessibility and, you know, improve inclusivity on our public lands and in our outdoor spaces.
Yeah. And I think, we don't always think about like the outdoors as a human right, you know, but we have moved ourselves inside and indoors and in rooms, and sheltered ourselves from the weather and sped up our travel with vehicles. But, you know, the data that's coming out of the health test, when you just spend 20 minutes outside, like your cortisol levels just take this rapid dive, you know, so we know, and that's just being outside. That's not like not even going for a walk, just sitting out under a tree, sitting on a bench, whatever it may be. And so really phenomenal, like, health response for just spending time outside. So when we really look at equity, when we think about that, like, you know, if we haven't provided access to the outdoors for some part of our community, like, that's troublesome, you know? And it ties in with our health and wellness work, and I don't want to go too far down that path today, but I think it's just really critical to think about, you know, before COVID kind of, everything got thrown off for everybody, right? But in 2019, I did a presentation at COILS, the Colorado Outdoor Industry Leadership Summit. There we go. And I was talking, and I looked up some statistics, and, you know, like, people, you know, from the 12 to 18 range, by far the average time nationwide outside per week was 20 minutes.
For an entire week?
For an entire week.
I know, Marty, you're biking every day. It's hard to imagine. Right.
Well, but...
So think about it. Like, that is really just getting out of a vehicle and going into school and leaving school or the gym and coming back into the vehicle and then going home, right? And I think that could be true for a lot of people in the San Luis Valley in, say, third, fourth week of January, right? When it's really cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you can always dress for the weather.
That's absolutely right. But
that was one of the stated barriers, though, is weather here. It was like, let me see if I have it in my notes, but let's see, 28% of respondents said weather was a barrier. And that went up from like 7% in 2013, which is kind of interesting.
Maybe it was just a little colder winter compared to that winter of 2013.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I, you know, I think, you know, again, designing our communities, having these conversations about access, you know, ideally everybody's within like 10 minutes of an open space. I think that's pretty attainable right now in the San Luis Valley for most of our communities. If we can provide that kind of public open space, whether that's a county's like land or a municipality's land, like a park or even federal land, either of those can really help. But, you know, even the BLM's done great about like advertising their land, right, and getting the word out. But we always don't know like who owns the land that we're on, right? That happens a lot in rural areas, but in the San Luis Valley for sure. And so when we have like that magic piece of open space that's next to a community, I mean, a big part of it is the promotion that, hey, this is here and your taxes pay for it. And therefore it should be pretty good for you to use, you know, again, like each land management has its own way of interacting with us. So I don't want to say that you willy nilly can go anywhere you want to, but certainly like working with our federal land partners and, you know, our municipalities and all to provide access to that, I think is really important.
Yeah. Brings to mind the Woody Guthrie song, "This Land Is Your Land."
Absolutely. Yep.
Danny, what are some of the more surprising results that you got from the survey?
I don't know if it's surprising necessarily, but something that we really focused on with this new iteration of the survey, we wanted to include more questions about how people perceive outdoor recreation as an economic benefit. And this was something that came out, I think, really positively in the survey. A lot of people associated outdoor recreation with economic benefit and the fact that they believe it brings more opportunities for dining and shopping and just increased tourism in general. It provides support for local outdoor recreation businesses. And, you know, that's something that I think we're pleased to see. And we think that outdoor recreation can really be an economic driver here in the San Luis Valley. And it's not to overshadow, you know, any other economic driver like agriculture per se. You know, it's understanding that these drivers can be in tandem and can be in flux and provide a more resilient economy for the valley.
It's always good to have whatever boost we can, especially with recreation, which is a pretty low impact sort of economic activity.
You know, it was really funny this morning. I was at Urged, and I heard a really good friend and colleague.
Urged.
Upper Rio Grande Economic Development. But I heard a good friend and colleague say that agriculture was the original outdoor industry. And
yeah,
he's right.
It is. Right.
I hadn't really thought about it that way, but I was like, wow, yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, and we have communities all throughout the San Luis Valley that are, I would say, definitely looking to agritourism as a kind of economic boost as well. Being able to mold those two things, like recreation and agriculture, and being able to, you know, really acknowledge the culture and heritage around agriculture in the San Luis Valley.
You know, one of the things I appreciated in the survey when I took it was the fact that you listed so many different types of recreational activities for people to check. Yes, I've done this, I've done this. It's not just hiking and walking, but all sorts of other things. Did you get lots of folks responding that, things like biking and fishing and
We sure did.
Bird watching and
yeah,
all that
we got
stuff.
We got quite the variety, which is really exciting to see, and just, you know, make it really lends itself to us understanding that we need diverse opportunities in the valley. You know, there's something for everyone, and we recognize that not everyone's going to be a trail user. Maybe they just want to go to the park and go to the pavilion and grill, or maybe they want to sit by the river and go fishing. And, you know, it's all great. We want to see people outside and reaping the health benefits, like Mick said. We did notice, though, that walking, for instance, that actually grew significantly in the past 10 years. We had 55% say that they walk as a recreation activity in 2013, and that rose to 80% in 2023.
That's good.
And I think that has a lot to do with just more accessibility around communities and being able to just, you know, go out on a lunch break and go walk for 10 minutes or whatever it is. It's just something easy you can do. You don't need equipment or outdoor gear. It's just a great activity for everyone to engage in.
And when you're walking, you're moving at a slower pace than even bicycling. And you can see so much more when you're just walking.
That's so true. Yeah. Also interesting is that we saw an increase in wildlife and bird watching. And that just reminds me of, I mean, the significance of the Malm Trail. I remember at the grand opening, there was someone there that had been participating, I think, in the Christmas bird count or some kind of, you know, citizen science data. And it was just hundreds of birds that could just be seen from the Malm Trail, you know, right in people's backyard. It's really incredible. And it's not for everyone, but for those that really enjoy birding, the San Luis Valley is a great place to be.
It is. Yeah, the Malm Trail, John Rowinski lists it as a San Luis Valley hotspot for birding.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
I'm sure that's
town.
The name I was trying to think of. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty incredible. And you mentioned wildlife also.
Yeah.
You know, it's not uncommon. You frequent the
Riparian Park.
It's not uncommon to see porcupines out there, owls.
Not at all. Oh, yeah.
Very occasionally coyotes.
Mm-hmm. Lots of beavers.
Yep.
Yeah. And see them all the time.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
What else do you have that you'd like to talk about from the survey?
Yeah, I would say conservation-wise, like above all else, our community really wants land managers to prioritize sustaining healthy forests, waters, and wildlife. Of course, they want that in conjunction with exceptional trail experiences and outdoor rec experiences, but that is their main priority, is the sustainability of our natural resources.
And that's critical. Some of the work that we're engaged in right now is the regional partnership initiative with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. We're just re-upped a grant here. Hopefully we'll be approved for another round. We're pretty confident about it, but sometimes you don't always get a yes. But that work is really funny. When the master plan came out, like, we were so focused on recreational opportunities, and that conversation, that there were really only two pages in the master plan about conservation. Now once you're in the work and you're actually trying to put a trail on the ground, there's just no way that you can not be in the conservation conversation along with recreation, whether that's federal NEPA, or if that's a state planning process. You know, even with CPW and state trails, you have to fill out a wildlife form. And that has to be done externally of SLV Go. And so that work was always happening, but I think there was this perception that, like, we weren't necessarily keeping that in mind. And so the Regional Partnership Initiative is really an opportunity for Go, but really for the whole San Luis Valley, and everyone's welcome to be at the table to have that kind of more in-depth conversation about conservation and wildlife conservation, not only land conservation, but wildlife conservation as well. And look at migration patterns, and how has climate change begun to change that? And how has recreation changed that? And how has agriculture changed those patterns as well? And so it's very interesting. Danny's pretty deep into this work. We're hopefully doing a big mapping project through the next year just to kind of take a look at the current data available and also some ground truthing to begin to understand these patterns a little bit more. Because, I know just from my time here since 2004, definitely seeing less numbers in the elk herds than I had ever seen before. You know, I remember first getting here and being on the Alamosa Wildlife Refuge after Thanksgiving one year, just out for a bike ride with my family after our Thanksgiving meal. And, you know, there being about 100, 150 elk out there. And they're probably still there, right? It does, just because I didn't see them doesn't mean they're not there. But, you know, a lot of times when I see those similar herds now, like they seem to be about half as big as they used to be. And so something's causing this, and it's worth investigating. And part of the survey was like getting the perception of the San Luis Valley residents and what that means.
Yeah, for sure. And part of that mapping project is to utilize conservation and recreation data that we have to be able to identify high sensitivity habitat to low sensitivity habitat areas and overlay that with recreation usage data that will help us determine areas that are more conducive to outdoor recreation and areas that need to be, you know, more heavily conserved. So it will help us identify these places that see a lot of outdoor recreation use that might need more maintenance, and we might need to think about, you know, inventorying those areas and figuring out which infrastructure and amenities need to be upgraded to help sustain the characteristics of that outdoor rec area in order to preserve the surrounding environment and our natural resources.
Good. Anything else from the survey that you'd like to mention?
I don't think so. Yeah.
There's one in there, if I remember correctly, and you may not have that directly in your notes, but it was talking about people weren't always aware where the money was coming from for recreational development or how things
for
were
infrastructure
funded.
Right.
And so that's something. You know, it's really funny, like, I think, you know, in our culture, it's really innate not to talk about where, like, the money, but it's also really important. You know, I'd say for most of the recreational development that SLV Go has been involved in, a lot of that has been private foundations and GOCO, Great Outdoors Colorado. But more recently, we're beginning to get some CPW funding through state trails. And that comes in two different ways. And I had a gentleman write in, you know, to our Facebook messenger a week ago, just asking about this. And so in the state trails world, if you're a motorized user, you should be paying for a motorized tag every year. It's about $25 plus taxes. And that tag goes directly to motorized trails in Colorado. And it's a really cool program because it provides the opportunity for new motorized single track and or side-by-side use or ATV use and repair and maintenance of that. And if even funds like what they call a good management crew for the Forest Service. And those are the guys that are on the motorcycles, like opening motorized trails with chainsaws and cutting the trees cut out every year. So the funding goes for that. On the non-motorized side, you know, some of that money comes from GOCO, but, you know, also just the general CPW revenue. But there's less funding because on the non-motorized side, we don't have what they call the backpack tax, right? We don't have something like that in place. So there's a little bit less funding. We were funded this year through CPW State Trails Non-Motorized for a new trail in the Baca Refuge that will connect the town of Crestone to the Baca Welcome Center.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then we also, the BLM was also funded on a motorized grant for motorized maintenance. So here through this summer, you'll see Southwest Conservation Corps out doing some of that maintenance. And then in 2024 in the spring, you'll see the SLV goats out working on some of our motorized trails to kind of it's been a few years. So to get these, like, get the tread back up, and we'll armor those, and we're not going to dumb them down in any way. They'll still be the rugged trails that we're used to, but it'll help with some of the erosion and pieces that are problematic for us and long-term maintenance anyway. And then GoCo, of course, is a great funder. That's your lottery dollars. So when you play a lottery ticket, a piece of that goes to Great Outdoors Colorado, and that goes to not only trail funding, but also parks and ball fields and just making life better for Colorado citizens.
Yeah, getting more people outside.
Getting more people outside. Yep.
Reduce that cortisol level.
Yeah, it's so important.
Danny, will the survey results be posted somewhere, perhaps on the SLV Go website?
Yes, they are currently posted on our website at slvgo.com.
So if you are interested in digging in yourself to look at the results of the surveys, then go to www.slvgo.com. Click on the appropriate, what tab should they look under?
It'll be under our Colorado Outdoor Regional Partnerships page, so under our conservation tab.
Okay, so take a look and enjoy the out-of-doors. So we've been talking with Danny Robin, the Community Connections Coordinator, and Mick Daniel, the Executive Director of San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, SLV Go. Thank you both for coming in and sharing the results of that survey.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Marty. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back after this message. This is the Outdoor Citizen Podcast.
Hey, Alamosa. This is Maddie Albarn with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. Did you know SLV Go is hiring? The Great Outdoors Action Team, also known as GOATS, is seeking additional members to join their professional trail crew. Members need to be comfortable performing trail work, show a willingness to learn, be a team player with clear communication, and learn situational awareness while in the field. Some projects may incorporate volunteers or contracted youth conservation organizations, which require the support and oversight by crew members. All work is performed in the San Luis Valley on public lands. This position is seasonal because trails also need an off-season, with a pay rate of $19 to $23 an hour based on your experience. SLV Go is also seeking a financial manager. Reporting directly to the executive director, this position provides accounting, budgetary, operational, and programmatic support to all agency programs and activities. This position also oversees all accounting, budgeting, payroll, and benefits for our organization. This is a real deal, full-time salaried role within SLV Go. If you are interested in either position, read the full job description and apply at slvgo.com/jobs.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. We talked earlier about May being Bike Month, and there's still lots going on for the beginner and avid bike rider alike. On May 12th is the Alicat Race around downtown Alamosa. Grantley Showalter from the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition says he expects the race to begin around 6 p.m. and it will end at the Spare Keg on Main Street, Alamosa. Sounds like fun. Check out the Alamosa Bicycle Coalition on Facebook and their website to get more information. May 19th is the National Bike to Work Day, and there will be activities associated with that as well. And May 27th is the third annual Valley Bottom Rio Trio. The race is done right on the Rio Grande in Alamosa. This year's race features an 8-mile mountain bike ride, a 3-mile river paddle, and a 5K run. Given the runoff that we're having now, the river paddle should be especially wet. You can find registration information at rioraces.com. On May 16th, SLV Great Outdoors will be hosting an intermediate ride at the Bonifacio Trail from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. That's for mountain bikes, and you can check the SLV Go website for more information. probably the best thing you can do is sign up on the new or sign up for the newsletter and get registered that way. The Bonifacio Trail is accessed by going out on Highway 160 west of Monte Vista, and you turn south at the Spanish Trail marker. And on May 20th, the SLVCO is sponsoring a work day on the Pronghorn Trail system for Colorado Public Lands Day. For more information about that, you can sign up on the SLVCO website. So, outdoor conditions report. We don't have an outdoor field report for you today, but as the days get longer and warmer, we'd love to hear from you. Record an audio file on your smartphone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph also. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. And here are some other outdoor conditions. The upper Rio Grande is flowing pretty good right now. The gauge in Del Norte is reading 3,820 CFS. Monte Vista is reading 2,010 CFS. Alamosa is reading a discharge of 838 CFS. And the USDA is reporting 8.7 inches of equivalent snow water in the upper Rio Grande. Avalanche danger is low across the entire state right now, according to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. Start your day early and end early to avoid any issues with wet avalanches. Stick to slopes not directly in the sun and carefully plan your egress. If you find yourself sinking past your boot tops into wet snow or see loose wet avalanches running from steep, rocky terrain, it's time to find a cooler slope to recreate or call it a day. On some easterly facing slopes above 12,500 feet, you can still find small drifts of cold, dry snow. These will likely be directly below the ridgeline and should be easy to avoid. However, be careful above terrain traps such as steep couloirs or cliffs. Colorado backcountry avalanche conditions are updated every evening at 4:30 p.m. For the full forecast details and more, go to avalanche.state.co.us. And this ends this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. Join us next time when we talk to John Reeser and Brian Pucciarella about the Valley Bottom Rio Trio and how all this water might make it quite special this year. Until then, thanks for listening. Get outside and enjoy the out of doors.